Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
O Lord my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes. When I sit down and when I rise.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray, O God, that instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation to the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Fatima.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Father Lanteri.
Pray for us.
Saint Ignatius.
Pray for us.
Saint John Vianney.
Pray for us.
St. Alphonsus.
Pray for us.
St. Padre Pio.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
Well, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Almost, right around the corner. So this week will be preceded by a personal anecdote. I have in my family, my parents, very prolific parents. They've got 9 children. And the first was a boy. Second was a boy. Third was a boy. Fourth was a boy. And the fifth was a girl, and her name is Victoria. Yeah. So I don't know if you've ever met any teenagers, no? Okay, when she was going through those tempestuous, tumultuous teen, tense years, how about that for alliteration? She didn't want to go to confession. And my mom is a real trooper. Maybe one day you meet her. My mom insisted that she had to go to confession, and my sister point blank said, I don't want to go. So my mom would invite her and pray for her. And one day, after probably close to a year, maybe 7 months, my sister said, okay, Mom, I will go to confession. But under one condition is this, is that the family knew the priest. And this is a place in the state where there's just one priest in the parish, and he was a friend of the family, so she wanted to go anonymously behind the screen. So my mom said, no problem, you can go face to face or you go behind the screen, there's an option. So the doomsday arrived, I can use that expression, no? And there my sister, hiding behind the screen, hugging the screen, she said, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was almost a year ago. And Father Goff did this. Oh, hi, Vicky. So that broke the ice. And ever since, she's really had no problems with going to confession. So the devil tried to place obstacles so that she wouldn't go to confession. So that's our topic today. Our topic today is to prepare ourselves to make a good New Year's confession. You're going to be making a confession right around the beginning of the new year. Huh? No better time, right? Nothing happens by chance, no? So I'm going to prepare you to make what is called a general confession. When they say general, it doesn't mean generic or abstruse, okay, or arcane, or something a little bit hidden. No, but rather general means a confession of your whole life. Amen or oh me? Okay, now general confession of your whole life is very opportune in this moment because of where we are in the year. We're finishing this old year. In a couple of days, we'll be starting a new year. On Wednesday, if my mathematics is not faulty. Okay, it's not faulty. So what a good way to start a new year by making a confession of your whole life. Now, some might ask, well, why do I have to do that? I'll give you some reasons. One of the best reasons I like to give is because St. Ignatius says we should do it, and that's good enough for me. Yep. You agree with that? Follow the saints, right? If he says we should do it, well, I think we should do it. No, he's a canonized saint, and none of us are canonized yet, okay? Second is it helps us to grow in self-awareness, to get to know ourselves better. Third, it helps us to grow in humility because it's humbling to admit that we don't arrive at the stature of holiness that God is calling us to. Another reason is this. It might be that maybe we haven't made good confessions in our life. Since Vatican II, there's really been a crisis in catechesis, among which that of good catechesis and confession has been weak in a lot of places. A lot of places. And this is another reason why, because it could be that maybe we haven't confessed all of our sins because some sins are shameful and they're embarrassing. They cause a lot of shame and embarrassment, and maybe we simply didn't want to confess that. It's probably more common than you're aware of. Sins that are some sins are pretty. Pretty embarrassing, huh? Shameful. So here you have your golden opportunity. Get it all out. Unload. Start a new life. Okay, related to this, I'm going to make a comment which I think is very propitious or opportune for the feast that we celebrate today, which happens to be a Holy Family. I'm not a skeptic or a cynic, but I'm a realist. Okay, I'm not a skeptic. I'm not a pie-in-the-sky idealist either, okay, or a romanticist, if you study literature, no? But I'm a realist. Now, the priesthood is going through a tough time. It's true. But the family is going through a much more difficult time than the priesthood. No one ever says that. I say most priests are pretty happy. They're hardworking. They carry out their mission. Most priests. There's been some crises, of course. But family is really in crisis. And I don't think that has been addressed. That should be addressed probably more than the priesthood, no? In my Mass in the morning, I spoke of the fact that I was brought and raised in a family that was not dysfunctional. That's one in maybe 10,000 today, no? I was brought up in a good family, which is, you say, that your people are almost shocked, no? Now, what is the cause? I'm going to give you one of the causes you've never heard before, but once I tell it, and I give you a theological background, I think you'll nod, but with shock. Let me give you the scenario. Okay, let's take a Bill and Sally, they're going to get married. So they've arrived at the week before their wedding. Okay, what are they thinking about? They're thinking about the guests that are coming in from the Philippines, yeah. Important. Coming in from Manila, then LAX, got to get a limo to maybe pick them up. No? Then you have to think about the transcendental importance of what cake they're going to have at the party, right? It's going to be carrot cake or devil's food cake or angel food cake or whatever, no? Those matters that are of transcendental importance, like my sarcasm or not, okay? And then the lady's thinking about the length of her dress, okay? What type of veil is it going to be? Going to be white or beige or going to be whatever. What about the carpet? Red or blue or polka dot, okay? And then afterward, is it going to be rice or the modern thing is bubble stuff, no? Franciscan poverty, huh? Franciscan poverty, right? Throwing another $500,000, but at least the bubble stuff, huh? So they're thinking about all this. And so they get married, but before getting married, they didn't go to confession. Didn't go to confession. And they hadn't been to confession, both of them. They've been courting for about 3 years. Haven't been to confession in a year. And what's happened during that year? Well, they miss Mass once a month because of sheer laziness. A lot of Masses, a lot of opportunity, but they miss Mass on purpose. Once a month. Okay? So maybe 12 times. Missing Mass on Sunday because is that a mortal sin?
Yes.
And then, even though they thought they might be able to do it, but they were not able to hold back, they had premarital sex once a week. Okay. So, throw in another 55 mortal sins, okay? Got drunk a couple times. God given the pornography. So maybe together they both have more than 100 mortal sins. Then they exchange the rings. If they're Mexican, they give the aras, right? They throw the rope around, huh? Or lasso, right? Or soga. Lazo enamorado, soga enojado. Okay. So what happened on the day they get married? A double sacrilege. Yeah. Never since they get married, they don't feel at peace. They're arguing over dumb things. The first kid comes along, and they think maybe this is going to resolve the problem. They're arguing even more. The second kid comes along, they're arguing even more, and then there's a flare-up, there's a blowout, and they're separated. They never receive the sacramental grace of marriage. Yeah. Someone has to write a book on this. Why don't you do it, Father Broom? I've thought about it. I've never heard anyone talk about this except Father Broom. Okay. Well, use basic catechism and theology, okay? Don't you have to receive the sacrament of marriage, confirmation of holy orders, and the state of grace?
Yes.
And I think everyone's totally oblivious to me, but for me it's like having an elephant in your bathroom.
One elephant.
Yeah. For that reason, anyone who comes to this parish When it comes to any program of Father Broome, it's always the most demanding in the Archdiocese. As is this program, right? Or you come with your kid to confirmation, hey, you're stuck with me a couple of years, no? First Communion, also. You come to get married, and I'm supervising, no baloney. I'm not going to marry you unless you go to confession. If you don't learn NFP, you haven't gone to confession, I'm not going to marry you. As we say in New York, over my dead body. Really? So I've got a team of helpers that prepare people to make a general confession. Not that they have to come to me. Any priest here? We got a lot of priests. Amen?
Amen.
So we have some married couples here and some that maybe will get married in the future. I'd like you to just reflect upon that. Now, if you did it right, I mean, you went to confession 24 hours before you got married and you did it the way it should be done, okay. But if what I've said resonates as being the truth, thanks be to God that you're here. It's huge. Where are you going to get this? This is maybe the only place in the country, huh? So you should be thankful. And be honest, we can easily rationalize. Right? The human person can rationalize anything. Hitler could, 5 million Jews, right? We can rationalize. You know what rationalize means? We can lie to ourselves. Well, everyone else is doing it, Father. Don't be a prude. You're an obsolete fossil of the Middle Ages. Wake up and smell the coffee. Okay, launch those words at me, but I'm going to hold to my guns. Because I think what I'm saying is true. So I spent the last 33 and a half years of my life probably hearing at least 500,000 confessions. I have a little bit of experience, right? At least a little bit, huh? So my work as a priest is preaching and teaching, but my work is forming the conscience, no? Forming the conscience. So, I mean, if this is the case, be eternally grateful that God has given you this opportunity right now. At the threshold of a new year, a new decade, right? We're starting 2020, no? Okay? And to be honest with yourself, as I said earlier, there are certain sins that are very embarrassing. And sometimes the devil that actually, he closes our lips so we can't get it out. Because of fear and shame, which is behind that is really pride, no? We are taught in pastoral theology about before becoming a priest, never, ever, ever show any surprise at what any sin anyone would ever tell us. I remember as a deacon, this is 35 years ago, even if your best friend came in, your best friend killed your mother, you should not even be surprised. That's pretty strong, isn't it? That's strong, isn't it? I remember that was the case example. I mean, you hear that. You shouldn't even show a wince of surprise, even if you heard that. And as I get older, getting older as a priest, Teresa of Avila says this, those who are living in the state of mortal sin, we shouldn't be surprised what they do, we should be surprised what they don't do. It's a double negative. What she's really saying is that the human person is capable of creating new sins every day without God's grace. Right, Ed? Yeah. Without God's grace, we can do the most horrendous, the most repulsive, repugnant thing. Who would ever think that you could go to the Kaiser Permanente and you can come out a boy and get hormonal treatment and psychological treatment. Who would ever thought of that 50 years ago? Now it's a legal right. Then if you don't feel that way, in 5 years you can go back to becoming a girl. No? You can do that if you want, no? Who would have ever thought of that? Who would have ever thought of that 50 years ago? If you told me that when I was a kid, you would be the laughingstock of New York. You'd be a laughingstock. What are you, a blundering idiot? How can you possibly say that? But if you speak out against that, you're seen as a racist, right? This is called the proliferation of sin and the deadening of the conscience, the callousness of the conscience. We become desensitized because everyone is doing it. So with that background, I'll let you go through how are we going to make a good general confession? Okay, first is you're going to have to give yourself, you're going to give yourself a good block of time to prepare yourself. And that means most people who make the general confession will probably spend about 4 hours preparing for it. Okay? In other words, you don't prepare it just like that. It takes a while to prepare yourself for it. Now, when are you going to prepare for it? Are you a morning bird or an eagle? Are you a morning bird or you're a night owl? I'm a morning bird. I'm a morning person. Give me a good night's rest. Good holy hour. Cup of coffee. Mass. And I can pump out a lot from 10 to 1 o'clock. My mind is very lucid in the morning. You ask me to do it from 9 o'clock on, forget it. So I think try to find when is the best time of the day. Give yourself maybe a morning or afternoon or an evening. Uninterrupted. Okay, you don't want to be in a place you got phone calls or people are calling you or your pet parakeet Pete is singing a little ditty, okay? Okay? Do you have a pet parakeet Pete? Is that his name? Okay. In other words, you have to have silence. Otherwise, you're not going to, you're on a roll, the Holy Spirit a roll, and then you're interrupted, no? Because the Holy Spirit gets you on a roll. It's like spiritual momentum. Okay? I would say in the morning, you know, morning's a good time, no? And give yourself a good block of time. Okay, then to make the general confession, it's not a bad idea to make it in front of an image of the cross, image of the Sacred Heart, an image of Mary. Then we're going to be giving you a little booklet. Okay? So before making the general confession, as you're preparing yourself, pray to Mary, the Mother of Mercy, then you'll make the best confession in your life. Beg Mary, the Mother of Mercy, you make the best confession in your life. Then invoke the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to enlighten you. Because the Holy Spirit is going to be enlightening your conscience. If you like, this is a really good image I like to use, taken from your friend Cardinal Newman, okay? Just canonized a couple months ago. You English majors, Cardinal Newman was one of the greatest writers in the 19th century in England, okay? Possibly, according to some, the modern Thomas Aquinas in his writings. Great writer. One of the literary images that he uses that I like to I'd like to introduce to this topic is, imagine yourself tomorrow at 12 noon, you're in your house, and you're in your room, and the shutters are closed. And you're walking in your room, it's midday, and you trip over a chair, because the shutters are closed, you're in darkness. Then you decide, okay, what I'll do is I'll open up the shades a little bit, just a little bit. And you can see some of the sun is coming in, but it's more dark than light. And you notice that there is a chair there, there's a table there, but that's about all you can see. Then you maybe open up the shades a little bit more and you can see, oh, there's a table there, okay, there's the bedspread, it's got three different colors on it. You can see the variegated lines on the cover. Open up a little bit more, you can actually see there's a little bit of coffee drops that your son had that dripped on your table. Okay. Then you open it up a little bit more and you see, okay, there's a tennis shoe. There it is underneath the bed. I haven't seen that in a while. And then you open up the window, the shades totally, and the sun comes beaming in, and you can see everything in the most minute detail. You can even see the dust particles that are floating in the sunlight. Ever see that? I love that. The sunlight is beaming in, you see the dust particles, they're floating. So I've given you five different scenarios or scenes which are related to the human conscience. You have those that are conscious that are totally in the darkness. Maybe a lot of your friends. They don't want to see. They're like bats. Huh? They're blind. And they want to be blind. Hmm? Others, they're maybe willing to see a little bit. Others, they see a little bit more. In this course, we want to be in the last scene. We want to open up the Persians. We want to open up the shades. We want to allow the sun to come in. We can even see the most minute details in our lives. Even the hidden intentions of our heart become present in the light of God's love. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what we're working. We're working, we're really trying to clean out our conscience. No? And how beautiful is you make this confession and you're born again. Do you ever do any spring cleaning, huh? You ever clean your garage? You ever clean your bathroom? I know what you're saying. Well, we're waiting for you. Clean sweep with Father Broom, huh? Okay. Waiting for me, huh? Okay. So beg for the grace to be able to really see yourself in the light of God's grace and the light of His love. Okay, so to make the general confession, I'm going to go through the classical steps, but go into them in a little bit more detail. To make a good confession, those who are of my vintage or a little bit older, you remember the classical steps that the Baltimore Catechism taught us. So I'll let you go through the five steps, and hopefully you'll be able to memorize these five steps. Okay, the first step is examination of conscience. Got that? Examination of conscience. And we purposely want to give you this little booklet. I wrote a booklet about 6 years ago. It hasn't been approved by the diocese yet, but I think my booklet is much better, but it doesn't have the imprimatur yet. But this is pretty good. But this one came out about 20 years ago. Mine is much more modern, taking into account modern technology. But this is good. So you want to be reading through it, examine your conscience, and this is a good little booklet because it goes through the Ten Commandments. just goes to them categorically one at a time. And what we want you to do is to write down in your in your notebook, write down your sins. Why do you want to write down? Because it's easy to forget, to draw a blank, especially when you're maybe a little bit nervous, okay? So this is one of our requirements. Make a general commitment. You have to make sure that it's written down. Okay, it's written down. Now don't place that notebook on the counter there so your sons can look at it, or you, okay? It's top secret, okay? I mean, you maybe write in hieroglyphics or write in a hidden language that only you can interpret, okay? But write it out. All right. Second point is, this is the classical catechetical formula, is sorrow for your sin. So if you don't have sorrow for your sin, it's just not going to work. Sorrow for your sin. So step 2 and 3 are the most important. Now, sorrow for your sin, there are two types of sorrow. There's what is called imperfect contrition and perfect contrition, or contrition of love. Two different types. To make your confession, the first is sufficient, imperfect sorrow. But I think you want to go beyond that. Imperfect sorrow is this: I'm sorry for my sins, motivated by what is called the gift of the Holy Spirit, fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, by the way. That if I do not give up this sin, this mortal sin, then if I die in that state, then I my soul will be lost for all eternity. In other words, I will go to hell. And you meditate upon that 2 weeks ago. If you're following our scheme and you're obeying what I tell you to do, okay? You meditate upon hell. And you hopefully had a very graphic meditation upon hell, moving you, by means of that, moving you away from sin, moving you into the loving embrace of God. What, Barbara? Yes. So that's fear of the Lord. That's enough to make a good confession. Some of you might say that, well, that's pretty primitive. Well, careful. Listen, if it is such that someone here, or maybe a relative of yours, will not sin because of fear of the Lord, that's enough to get into purgatory. You might be in purgatory 1,000 years, but you're going to get out. Don't downplay fear of the Lord. I mentioned this a couple weeks. I heard again on Relevant Radio, once again as a replay, Patrick Madrid, he said that when he was growing up, for Christmas, as a Christmas gift, he gave to all of his relatives a book that was wrapped up, and they opened up, and it was a book on hell by Shoup, 10 publishers. And his sister got really angry at him because she knew he was directing that at her because she was living a bad life. And she said afterwards she was really angry at her brother, but she read it and was converted and thanked him for sending her that book on hell. For that reason, I really like to preach the topic of hell, not because I like the place, but that's a tool to push people away from sin and push them to a fear of the Lord, and maybe one day they'll love God. For example, we have a lot of teenagers in confirmation. We've got about 400, no? Do they love God now? I don't think so. Maybe a couple of them. Do they love God now? I don't know. I hope, Marina. Leticia. I hope. I think a lot of them being pushed. They're going because they have to go. Maybe the grace of God will kick in, and then one day maybe they will love God. I hope. But if they have fear of the Lord, enough to get them into purgatory. Whew. Wow. So we have to use whatever, I try to use whatever means in my disposition to get people at least into purgatory. Then they're going to get out. And they might be there for 2,000 years. And it's no joke. Purgatory, Aquinas says, is the same fire as hell, Aquinas said. But there's hope. You're going to get out. So I insist, you know, I hope by the end of this program that all of you will be able to say, Father Broom, I really love God. I hope you'll be able to tell me that. Do you love God now? I can only say, I hope so. I don't know. I haven't talked to you. I hope you love God. Like St. John the Evangelist, no? I hope. But fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's enough. But let's go beyond that. You want to beg for the grace. I don't want to sin, not simply because I'm hurting God, because I'm going to end up in hell, but I don't want to sin because God loves me and I want to love God back. That you got to beg for. You got to beg for that grace. It's a supernatural grace. You got to beg for it. And when all is said and done, the only thing that really matters in our life is that we love God. But we have to arrive at that. The most important thing in our Catholic faith is to recognize that God loves you, but he wants you to love him back. But he's not going to force you. He's not going to force you to love. Respects your freedom. Respects your freedom. These exercises, if you do these exercises well, if you do them well, every one of you, after the 10-week program, should be able to say, Father, I'm not perfect at it, but Father, I really love God. Right, Eric? Ed? Mary? You should. I mean, the program is designed to lead you through fear of the Lord to a keen awareness of the love of God, and God really wants you to love him in return. Maybe you haven't arrived at it yet, but I hope in 5 weeks you'll be there. And that when you die, you'll die loving God so that you go to heaven as quickly as possible. That's our desire. Amen?
Amen.
So this is a foundation for you to build upon so that you'll be growing in the love for God until the Lord calls you. Yeah, long life, short life, having a lot of money or not, it doesn't really matter. That's principle and foundation. It matters we love God. We try to love him with our whole heart, mind, soul, and being. So when you say no to temptation, you're saying yes to the love of God, right? So see it that way. You say no to temptation, whatever it might be. I say no to that because I love God and I want him to love me totally. It's a love affair. Got that? Okay, I'm going to give you an image now that maybe this can elicit the love for you. Okay, this is it's a powerful image that all of you, most of you will be able to have relived it. And it's painful, but I think this will help you to arrive at this grace we're begging for. Okay. How many mothers here? Okay. Your little son or daughter was 3 years old. You're having a really tough day. You got a cold. You're so overwhelmed with responsibilities. You got your 3-year-old toddler there. He comes in, and there you have your white dress there on the table, and she spills grape juice on it. You explode and you yell at her. All of a sudden you see the face of the little child. You ever see it? Kind of goes up and down, up and down. And then there's about a 5 second silence. And then what happens? She explodes. And then you, aware of what you've done it without any thinking, you run to your little son or daughter, you hug, say, "That's okay, Mommy, I really didn't mean it. I had a really tough day, I'm sorry," and tears are trickling down your cheek, and you hug her, and you give her some grape juice, a little cookie, and within 5 minutes, she's even forgot about that, but you never forgot that. Right? Now, I know it's painful for me to say that, but if you can connect that, that's what we do when we hurt God. That's love. That's love. Fulton Sheen says, sin is hurting the one you love. That's the definition of Fulton Sheen. It's very personalistic. It's breaking a rule, yeah. But more than that, it's hurting the one you love. That's why that theological definition of love is difficult, because it's abstract. But once I give that little story, you moms, you remember that, and it hurts. And you try to reconcile it, and your daughter forgave you, but you never really forgot that. We don't want to hurt God. He loves us so much. Where I'm heading at is this. For most of us who were brought up and raised in my epoch, especially you've got German, Irish, Scotch blood, as I have, basically is legalistic. Brought up with a lot of legalism, right? Nothing wrong with that. But as you get older, the importance, our religion, our Catholic faith is more than anything else, it's a love affair. It's a love affair between God and us. We don't want to sin because God loves us so much and we want to love Him back. Amen?
Amen.
So when we're dealing with young people, I'm heading in that direction with the teenagers. You got to obey the commandment, but Jesus loves you so much, you don't want to hurt your best friend. And little by little, I think I'm making some headway, but it's hard work. It's hard work. Oh, yeah, it's hard work, you know, step at a time. One day they're going to say, "She's my best friend. I don't want to do anything because he loves me so much, and I want to love him back." Because legalism can only get you so far. You love, there's no limits. Amen? Legalism can get you so far. Love has no limits.
What's legalism?
Legalism, I just want to obey the commandments, just the rules. And nothing wrong with it. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." But if we're motivated by love, then we'll be able to keep the commandments. For that reason, you have that one liner of Augustine that says, "Love God and do whatever you want." I mean, you have to interpret that right. Love God and do whatever you want. You love God, then you're going to you're going to obey the commandments. Okay, so that's the second step. The third step of confessing well is firm purpose of amendment. Firm purpose of amendment means that you make a very firm purpose of amendment that you don't want to go back to that sin again. Okay? Face it, at times we like our sin more than we do God. Prefer our sin more than God. St. Peter uses two very graphic images from the animal world. Says the dog goes back to his vomit. You know, St. Peter says that, quoting a proverb. And he says the sow, you know what a sow is?
Yes.
Female pig. The sow wallows in its mire. Pretty graphic, huh? The sow or the female pig wallows in its mire. A few years ago, my younger sister lived on a farm in New Jersey, and she had animals, and she had a pig. So I'd never seen a pig before. So I contemplated a pig in the mud puddle, and it was wallowing in its mire. It's true. He uses that in an image for sin, no? Sin is dirtiness. Sin is going back to the vomit, no? So the third step is we have to have a firm purpose of amendment, which means we have to avoid any person, place, thing, or circumstance that leads us to sin. Don't play with fire. Don't walk on a slippery slope. Don't walk in thin ice. He who plays in danger will perish in danger. So you have to rewind the film of your life and see what led you into sin. And talk with Father Larry about this. I was telling him, I think that maybe the weakest point in most people in making a good confession is the third point. And I think it's this, is that the third point means you have to go back, rewind the film, and see your sin, but what led you to the sin? That's why I think most people, they don't do that, no? They see the sin, but what led me to the sin? What were the preceding causes? In general, it's always going to be desolation, okay? Desolation. When you find yourself in a state of desolation, that's where the devil sees your kryptonite, your weak point, and he provokes you, and we capitulate, huh? But all of us have a different kryptonite. You hear me? Because this is one area I really feel as teacher and preacher and confessor, I got to work. Otherwise, you know, go to confession, it's the same thing over and over again. In Spanish, el disco rayado. So also disco rayado, same thing over and over again. No? So you have to force yourself to rewind the film. Okay, I fell into this, but I could see it coming. See it coming? You're about to slip. Then what you have to do is, you got to turn in the opposite direction. Instead of giving in to that sin, whatever it means, you have to run to the loving embrace of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Amen?
Amen.
And this is probably one of my proposals for the year 2020, to develop this in preaching and teaching, maybe in writing. Otherwise, you know, we're never going to change. Okay? Never going to change, die. Okay, you made it. You made it to heaven, but you're 1,000 years in purgatory. I think you better go to heaven right away, right? But then, you know, before going to confession, Protestants say, I confess to God. Well, so do I. But then they go to the priest. All of you, before going to confession, you should confess to God anyway. Maybe you don't do that. You should. You should tell God you're sorry even before you meet the priest. And maybe do it several times. Maybe make an act of contrition 5 times before you go in the confessional. And beg for the grace not to go back to the same sin. Beg the Lord. With tears and fervor, Lord, I really don't want to go back to my past. I want to love you. Help me, Lord. See yourself as helpless. Say, Lord, I cannot do it without your help and your grace. I beg you to help me. And Lord, I'm going to avoid that person, place, thing, circumstance, person, place, which leads me, I'm going to avoid it. I promise, Lord, I'm going to keep away that person. It's going to lead me into gossip. I'm not going to go there. That person, I go to them, and we go to this place, we get drunk. I'm not going to go there anymore. So if they kind of see yourself where you're falling, and then I'm weak in that area, Lord, I'm not going to go there. Please help me. If you do that, your confession is going to be upgraded 100%. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's going to be the same darn thing until you're 98 and a half years old. Because the two most important things you can do is communion and confession, right? Hello? The two most important things you can do are communion and confession. Try to improve. Try to keep improving. In other areas, we're always trying to improve. But we have to try to improve in our encounter with Christ through His mercy and confession and through communion in the Mass. And then you really start to grow in a hole. You start to grow wings and you start to fly. Start to fly. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, we have finally arrived at the confessional. Okay, fourth step. When you go to confession, St. Faustina gives the quality of a good confession. Three different virtues: transparency, humility, and obedience. Okay? Transparency, humility, and obedience. And also, before I forget, when you're writing out your genitive confession, you have to mention the number of mortal sins that you committed. Okay, if you don't mention the number of mortal sin you committed, that is an incomplete confession. Example for medicine. Woman has got breast cancer. Very lengthy, difficult operation. Okay, the operation took 10 hours. Metastasized. She wakes up. After the anesthesia is worn off, what is the first question she can ask? Confession is removing spiritual cancer from your soul. Get it all out. Get it all out. I don't think you want any vestiges or remnants of cancer if you have the operation, do you? Of course not. So the priest is the soul surgeon. But if the patient doesn't reveal his sickness, we can't get it out. Get it all out. So if you mention the number of mortal sins and the types, okay, at this juncture, I look at you and I think some of you are saying, well, I'm 45 years old. How on earth am I going to remember all those sins? Well, maybe I'm 55. Maybe I'm even 60. You know, wow, then old people can be 60 years old, no? How on earth will I ever be able to remember the number of times? Okay, you may not be a good mathematician, but the Holy Spirit is. Really is. He's a graduate from MIT, summa cum laude, okay? If you ask the Holy Spirit, He can help you to come pretty darn close to the number. He can help you. So say, for example, the story I gave a half an hour ago, these couple, they've been having relations, okay, how often? I had premarital sex. Okay, just one time. No. Once a week for 5 years. There's a big difference between just I had premarital sex. You don't mention once a week for 5 years. That's an incomplete confession. And the priest may not ask you how many times. As we say in New York, you're up the creek. It's not a good confession. So prepare yourself well. I missed Mass on Sunday once. 10 years of my life. Well, tell me that. There'll be a difference between once and 10 years of your life. 520 to 540 times. It's a big difference, right? Now, on this, I'm very persnickety, very demanding. These come from canon law. I'm not creating this. Canon law says you have to mention the number and the species. Species means the type. So premarital sex is wrong. How about adultery? Is that wrong? Yes. What's worse? Adultery is much worse. You got to specify that. Why is adultery worse? Because you're breaking your marital commitment and the damage is done. You're married with 5 kids. You're cheating with a guy that's married 5 kids. See the damage there? And the scandal? And you say, well, I 3 years I lived in a lesbian relationship with another. That's worse because it's against nature. They're all mortal sins, but there's, we believe as Catholics, there's gradation. Some are worse than others. Stealing a dime is wrong, but stealing, you know, your Maserati is much worse because that's worth $500,000. So we believe as Catholics there's called gradation. Gradation, which means there's serious sins. Some are more serious than others. So we're spending a lot of time on this because if you do it well, this confession will change your life. And maybe you haven't been at peace with yourself, maybe all your life. Because there's certain unconfessed sin you haven't gotten out yet. Once you get it out, you're free. You're a new person. You're born again. And you'll be able to, God will use you to do incredible good with others. But unless you arrive at this conversion, you're paralyzed, you're blocked. Okay, so you're ready to enter the confessional. You're all going to be given a certain time this Friday and Saturday. We've got a smaller group this session, so we've got priests available to hear confession these 2 days. You're going to be given a specific time. Try to arrive punctually. You may have to wait a little bit. If it's done in the church, we're going to try to have the Blessed Sacrament exposed so you can be talking to the Lord. Okay, now when you arrive, once Faustina came out of the confessional and she didn't feel at peace. And Jesus appeared to her and she said, why didn't I feel at peace? And Jesus said to her, because you didn't pray for the priest before you went to confession. So make it a habit to pray for the priest. You know that I have a guardian angel? He's very busy. Do you have a guardian angel? Is he asleep or you keep him busy? Keep him busy? So have the guardian angels interworking. I do that. 2 guardian angels are working during the confession. Powerful. Okay, enter in the confessional, make sure that you close the door, okay? Close the door, otherwise? Now, there's a lot of people that leave open the door. I'm shocked, you know? Maybe because we New Yorkers are very pragmatic. We use common sense, no? And then, of course, when they leave, they're going to be closing the door. They should leave the door open. I know that if the person leaves the door open, when the person leaves, the person is going to slam the door. They're consistent with their inconsistency, okay? And then you can go behind the screen or you can go face to face, no? Oh, hi, Vicky. Okay. But then it's good idea to know how to confess well. Most people don't know how, so I'll teach you. Okay, you start, not the priest, especially if you're behind the screen. You know why? If you don't start, in L.A., I don't know what language to speak. And for me, it's very frustrating as a priest. Because say, for example, the person doesn't say anything, and then I start to speak in English, no entiendo inglés, right away I'm angry inside. You got me in a bad mood. And we got feelings too, no? So we're fumbling for 90 seconds, and they got 25 people outside waiting, no? You know, learn how to do it well. And it's charity to the priest, no? We're already way overloaded with work. You do your part, no? So learn how to do it well. You start and take the bull by his horns and be assertive. I love confessors that are assertive. They know what they're doing. No? So what do you do? You come in there, okay? You make the sign of the cross. You know how to do that. Then say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was a month ago. This is my general confession." Okay, I'm already going to give you a smaller penance. Okay? Yeah. You're on my good side. Very few people know how to do that, but now you've heard me, right? Hello, you hear me?
Yes.
So starting right now, just do that, no? You're starting off well, it's going to flow much better, rather than fumbling in no man's land. And then after that, okay, these are my sins. And then in this general confession, just read them off. Read them off the number of times. And if you come to me, you can go to any priest you want. You come to me, as a preacher and teacher, I talk a lot. As a confessor, I speak very little. Okay? Because you've heard me. Many people have heard me speak for thousands of hours. Now it's your turn to speak. Okay? If you want clarification, I'm not lacking in knowledge. I mean, I'll intervene. But no, you know, it's you. Great, okay, absolution, you're out. If you want clarification, I'll clarify something. But I'm not there to give you an hour of preaching, no? I'm there to absolve you. When I go to confession to other priests, okay, if you give me advice, fine. But I want to hear these words. I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Those are among the most beautiful words in the universe. When I hear another priest say that over me, I almost want to jump for joy. Give me advice, fine. And I'll try to put it in practice. Father, give me absolution. Because it's Christ that does that. The blood of Christ that washes you clean. You got to have faith in that. Are you people happy that you're Catholics?
Yes.
What a blessing to be Catholic, right? Imagine to be living with a guilty conscience. For me, that's hell on earth.
Yeah, big time.
Right? Yeah, living with a guilty conscience is hell on earth. And I think there are studies that show a lot of people end up in loony asylums because they can't live with their guilt. They go crazy. They go crazy because they cannot live with a guilty conscience. Hey, what does Shakespeare say in Macbeth? More painful than a serpent's tooth, that of an ungrateful child, and he says, conscience doth make cowards of all of us. That's Macbeth. Because in the quiet of the room, we're afraid to encounter our conscience because it's the executioner, right? So young people put on a Walkman in the 70s. They put on a loud music because they're running away from their conscience. But Francis Thompson, the English writer, he's the hound of heaven going after us. Thanks be to God that hound of heaven is going after us, huh? I think we have to say honestly that our salvation depends upon a lot upon this topic. One of the greatest graces you could ever do in your life is to convince someone to come back to church through confession. You want to be an apostle? Be an apostle of the confessional. One of the greatest graces you could convince someone, maybe after years, come back to confession and receive the Eucharist again. What's greater than that? Thomas Aquinas says, someone who goes in and out of the confessional is a greater grace than raising someone from the dead. Because you raise someone from the dead, it's a natural miracle. Someone being raised from the dead, a mortal sin to sanctify grace, that's a supernatural miracle which far transcends any natural miracle. Thomas Aquinas. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then, at the end of your confession, you want to say the act of contrition. Now, the younger generation, you don't have it memorized. I would be shocked if you did. But you try to memorize it, no? Try to memorize it, no? Young people, you have a memory. Use it! The other day in Perseverance, I did this on purpose. I spent an hour and 15 minutes non-stop giving a summary of the Gospel of John from chapter 1 all the way to 21. Right? What'd you think?
Excellent.
Okay? I started talking in an hour and 15 minutes going through every one of the chapter John from 1 to 21 giving a summary of every one of the chapters. Why can't you do that? I think we can, but our memory is just very lazy. And I'm thankful that God has given me a good memory, but I try to cultivate it. I do. I work on it. And one thing I do when I receive Holy Communion, St. Paul says, put on the mind of Christ, and you have the mind of Christ. Amen. Yeah. I beg the Lord for a keen, penetrating intellect. Amen. Why don't you ask for that? And Faustina points out, we grow in prayer, the intellect becomes more keen. Open to the lights, the inspiration the Holy Spirit wants to give to you. Once you confess, you're purifying your memory and your intellect so that you're more receptive to lights of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. More docile. By the way, find yourself in cobwebs. No? Like a dusty attic. You ever go in a dusty attic? You know those cobwebs? You gotta get them out. Hmm? Musty. There's cucarachas. You can get rid of them. Yeah. Then you hear those beautiful words. I absolve your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. My son, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. I didn't give you general absolution now, okay? Gotta do your work, okay? Okay, the last step is you have to carry out the penance. Carry out the penance. You study manuals on penance. They say that it should be educational, it should be proportional, and it should be medicinal. I mean, a technical legal text for the confessor, no? Good advice. What I try to do is, I try to give a penance that I know the person can carry out. Because the person does carry out the penance, it's incomplete. But my formator said, whatever the priest gives you, always double it. I've always tried to do that. You know, I went to confession to the priest. He said, five Hail Marys? Okay, right away. Prayer rosary. Why not? I want to be generous. He asked me five Hail Marys? I'll say a decade. That's my style. Because I'm showing God that I really want to be generous. Lord, I want to walk the extra mile. Give me abundant graces. Yeah. See, the more humble and open and generous we are, God is going to give you a deluge of graces. And I tell people this. No, the effect of the sacrament confession depends more on you than on me. I'm trying to dispose you right now. But the effect is, what is the disposition of your soul when you go in there? We can try to dispose the soul, but when all is said and done, it depends on you and the disposition of your heart. So you carry out that penance, and you're forgiven. Okay, I'd like to say one more thing. Are you listening?
Yes.
Okay, I'm a little bit longer, Noah, because this is a very important point, but you're going to take another 3 minutes. I want all of you to start your new year by receiving a plenary indulgence. Okay, are you listening?
Yes.
Now, plenary indulgence means this. If you carry out these conditions, not only are your sins forgiven, but the temporal punishment due to the sins is washed clean. Okay, you go. There's two things. You're forgiven, but still you gotta do penance. You gotta make up for those sins. So there's two different aspects. But I'll give you the requirements to acquire a plenary indulgence. So that means when you carry this out, it's like being baptized again. And if you die, you go right to heaven. Okay. You hear me?
Yes.
Look, I'll tell you next week. You almost had a heart attack, huh? It's this. Okay, there's five conditions. First of all, you got to make a good confession. Okay, try to make a good confession, the best in your life. Okay, second is this. Is you have to... Like if I just gave you two Hail Marys, that's not enough for it. There are certain indulgence actions that you have to do to receive the plenary indulgence. Okay, there would be the following. Pray the rosary in your family. Or pray the rosary in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Or it could be, you know, meditate upon the Bible half an hour. You people are doing an hour. You can do that. Doing the way of the cross. Right, Angie? So those are four ways. What I usually like to do, at least, I try to get a plenary indulgence for myself once a week. So I want to go to heaven right away. Do you? I want to go to heaven right away. And given that the church offers it, let's take advantage of it. Father Matthew in Relevant Radio, a few months ago, told the story of this nun who died, and then Mother Superior asked Jesus where this nun was. And this nun was just a normal nun. It wasn't a great saint or great sinner, kind of a common, ordinary nun. And so Jesus was talking with Mother Superior, and she said, well, where is that nun? And Jesus said, oh, she went to heaven right away. Mother Superior says, why? She wasn't really that good. I mean, she wasn't bad, but kind of like an ordinary nun. Common, ordinary nun. Not a Teresa of Avila or not a Hitler, you know, kind of in between the two extremes. Okay? Just like an ordinary nun. And not like a Faustina either, no? And the Mother Superior said, why? And Jesus said, because she took advantage of what the church offers. Okay, so that's where I'm heading now. She took advantage of what the church offered. So if you want to accept what the church offers, it's up to you. If you want to reject it, fine. Want to reject it, fine. It's up to you. It's up to you, too. But I wouldn't. I would accept it. So you make your confession. Rosary. What I would do right after your confession, no, it doesn't matter what the priest gives you. Okay, right away, you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Pray the rosary. Right, Elvira? Mary? I do it right away, unless you're in a hurry. Unless you're in a hurry, because you're going to be either, we'll probably be in the big church, I think. If not, in the old church, we'll have the Blessed Sacrament exposed. So we're going to make it as easy for you as possible. Pray the rosary. Okay, pray the rosary. It doesn't have to be a really long rosary. Pray it with fervor. But then also, pray for the intentions of the Pope. If you don't do that, you don't get the indulgence. Say, what do you have to pray? One Our Father, one Hail Mary, one Glory Be. What we do in our parish every day after the morning Mass, midday Mass, the plenary is built into this parish. This parish makes it as easy as possible if you get a plenary every day if you want. No? Okay, then, okay, the last thing is this. You have to try to avoid sin. Even though we are sin, Lord, I don't want to sin. We're weak. You might fall because of human frailty. You might fall, but your intention is, Lord, I don't want any mortal sin or venial sin. I want to love you fully and totally. That's my intention. If you do that, you're born again. What a beautiful way to start the year 2020. Amen? Amen. Yeah, you're born. It's like being baptized. And I've talked with priests about this, and no one has given me a real line of demarcation, but it's basically the same thing as the Divine Mercy promise. I don't see any difference. So you can receive that actually every day. And I'm not downplaying the Divine Mercy promise, huh? Divine Mercy Sunday. Go for that. But given that the Church offers us so many opportunities, and nobody takes advantage of it, very rarely. My mom was harping upon me a couple of years ago, saying, hey, son, preach the plenary indulgence. No one knows about it. And so I've been doing it over the past few years, especially in this context. So if you carry that out, at the very beginning of this new year, you are born anew, as if you're baptized. Your soul, your mind, your conscience, your whole being has become as white as this whiteboard. What do you think? So thanks be to God for the opportunity that you have in these exercises to be born again through the grace and love of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. God bless you and see you next year. Okay, good. Eric?
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch, artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.